So this evening, I'd like to continue our journey through the paramis by offering some reflections on the parami of determination. But before I do that, I just thought we're nearly halfway through the retreat, and I thought I just wanted to begin with a little bit of reflection on the paramis as a whole, kind of sense of a little sort of stepping back and sort of sense of an overview of what we're doing in the retreat. And obviously each of us now very much sort of on our own journey in a way, sort of, you know, 14 different retreats going on, 18 if you include all of us now. So the real way, you know, that we really are kind of each of us, as we've been encouraging, you know, kind of really following the threads of our own interest, you know, and the threads of our own healing and of our own curiosity and intelligence. So this is very much about parami, you know. One way of understanding it is to say just parami, you know, the kind of taking it as a collective noun. That we're cultivating in any practice a kind of mind and heart that can live well. Maybe that's one way of summing it up. You know, what are the qualities of mind and heart, you know, that actually help, that really are really, you know, kind of conducive to that kind of genuine kind of happiness, peacefulness that really doesn't harm us, doesn't harm others, and is actually sort of reliable, kind of rests upon awareness, rests upon ethics, you know, rests upon sort of wise intention. So it's trustworthy and reliable. So as we go through the days, and I've been mentioning these different qualities, at some point we'll give you the list, but we've been holding back a bit. It's like, in a way, there are lots and lots of paramis, you know, these qualities of patience, you know, determination, all of us, you know, as we've been saying, we have all these capacities and qualities, and what we're trying to do is kind of going, oh, yeah, it's there. It's kind of bringing it out, you know, using it when it's useful, recognizing our resources. You know, our resources are tremendous resources as a human being. You know, and we get so caught up in what's wrong and what's difficult. I mean, you know, me included. And we forget and we lose sight of, and we think, oh, you know, I haven't got any of that. What's that kindness thing, you know? You know, maybe next year when I've meditated a bit more, I might have some. You know, but these are all qualities and capacities that we, you know, we all have. And we you know, we've touched on those two, you know, kindness and compassion, and equanimity has been mentioned, and wisdom and energy was mentioned this morning. So actually they're all weaving in, they're all there. And just by focusing on one can be very helpful for getting to know it, making friends with it. Yeah, patience, what is that? How do I practice with that? You know, I'm sitting here right now. When I'm sitting, walking, you know, when I'm in an interview, when I'm going to bed, you know. So that we really get to know it and can call on it, connect with that when we really need to. So also somehow, maybe you already have a sense of this, that the paramis, they're kind of like a lot of the Buddha's teaching, there's a sort of holographic principle that they all contain each other. And if you kind of touch one, you actually touch all the others. So when we cultivate one, we're cultivating all of them. Isn't that great? There's a sort of wonderful economy there, you know, in the Buddha's teachings. It's really amazing. You know, how did he do that? Well, he was a Buddha, so. You know, so this week we can really see that, you know, when you cultivate kindness. Yeah, patience is being cultivated, and equanimity, and you know, it's actually all connected. So we can really see how they balance each other as well, you know, like this combination of patience and determination. Maybe determination has a bit more of a strength quality to it, and the patience has a bit more of a soft, sort of gentle quality. Sometimes, yeah, more of one needed. Where's the balance? And maybe you also sort of sense this in your practice, the paradox of soft determination. Tough kindness. Compassionate truth. Can you? Playful seriousness. Or serious playfulness. So we can, you know, there are lots of paramis around, you know. Some of us were talking about playfulness in a group, and what a crucial one, you know. Let's cultivate that too. Maybe we'll have another retreat, and we'll just do playfulness. That would be fun, wouldn't it? Well, maybe. I don't know. So seeing how there are these paradoxes we can see in ourselves, you know, and see in our life, and how. In a way, all of the paramis, all of these qualities we keep going on and on about, you know, they're all going in one direction, aren't they? They're all going in one direction. Huh? What might we call that? Happiness? You know, and the other thing, the last thing I wanted to mention in terms of a sort of overall reflection on the paramis is, let's not postpone our happiness. It's a plea, really, to me, to you. You know, because we can say, oh, you know, I've got so much more to cultivate, heavens above. I know, it's like, oh, you know, and yeah. And that can be true, and what's available here and now? Yeah. And maybe in our practice, some of us beginning to really touch into that, you know, the what's available here and now, and we accept just what's happening, even if it's not pleasant, it's not what we want. What happens when we really turn towards that, really with that acceptance? Yeah, and so not to postpone our happiness. Now, because it's never going to be sorted out, is it really? I mean, I don't know about you, but I think it struck me at one point today. I was thinking, you know, it's never going to be quite right, is it? I'm never going to be quite good enough as a teacher. It's never going to be quite. And the thing, my eyes don't work, you know, and the thing gets in the way, you know, this thing here, and. You know, the whole thing, it's all falling apart. And there is the possibility of peace, and really, really radical peace and release possible. Right? You know, in right, even within our incompleteness, our clumsiness, our woundedness, our brokenness. It's right here, right now. The Buddha would often say, it's right here, it's right now, visible to that which is wise in us. So perhaps I've segued neatly into the parami of determination, because one of the characteristics of this, I think, is a clarity of vision and purpose. What do we really want? You know, it's. There was a point in my life where I used to go through this process where I would ask myself, what do I want? And I'd say, okay, go under that. What do I really want? And then I'd go deeper still and say, yeah, but what do I really, really, really want? No, I know it sounds silly, but actually, you know, you think it's sort of layers of, well, I want, you know, this and that, and I want, you know, a nice combination of the right, you know, money and a job that's nice, it doesn't take up too much hours, and, you know, the whole thing, all the different things, get my back sorted out, etc., etc., etc. And you get down, you know, what is it for you? And maybe you don't know, and that's okay. And sometimes we know and we don't know, and then we forget and then we remember. And it also changes. But there's something right now, where, you know, sometimes, you know, to come back, you know, say, okay, writing a Dharma talk can get incredibly complicated, I'm telling you. It's like, you know, and, oh, I've got to say the right thing, and what's going to be helpful, and, you know, and, but I've got to mention this, and this, and this, and that, and what about the other thing, and it just can get so, and I come back, like, wait a minute. Okay, connect, what is this really about? You know, it's just this intention of reconnecting with our real basic intentions, what we want for ourselves, what we want for others, to offer something true and helpful, and just to share to the best of, in this case, the best of my ability. There's some of my own learning and some of the Buddha's teachings, and just to encourage you and me and us to reflect, you know, and to learn and to think in a way that's helpful. You know, lots of thinking, we've been talking about this in different groups and interviews, you know. You know, and the teachings are one place where we're actually, but look, if you want to think about this. You know, we're thinking this way, this is helpful. So determination. What do we put our resolve, our effort, our energy into? You know, what's our purpose, our direction, our aspiration? I know for one point a friend was asking me, and it was a moment I was actually really quite in a bad way, quite unhappy and feeling quite despairing. Somehow, in the middle of all of that, I was just like, well, what I really want is to be happy and of use. And it was like, oh, yeah, actually, you know, and that was so helpful for me. It was like a kind of, it became kind of like a light at the end of the tunnel, you know, like even out of the midst of that. So that was really clear, and I still remember that, and it still, it kind of resonates for me and helps me. And sometimes it might be, you know, for you just to think, well, what is it for me? Because I can say this and that, and teachers can say, you get things from books, and maybe you have like 59 purposes. You know, so you have to do that layer. Well, wait a minute, if I sum it all up, what is it, you know, where it resonates in your heart and your mind and your gut and your body, you just go, yes, that's it, that at least for now, at least that much, you know, might be something about deepening. This came to me the other day. It's like you may not be able to sort of specify an end goal, but you say, I really genuinely, I want to deepen, you know, whatever that means to you. So to clarify our aspiration, you know, without getting kind of tight around that and demanding, and you know, it's like, right, I've got to be enlightened by tomorrow 6 o'clock or something, which may or may not be helpful. I don't know, you could try it out and see what happens. But it's something about if that our determination, this quality, okay, I'm going to try some words, so hopefully maybe some of these words may connect more for you than others. Dedicated, dedication, resolute or resolution, persevering, resilient, tenacious, no, just keep at it, keep at it, keep at it. Strong, strength, diligent, enduring, courageous, faithful. I mean, I could go on and on, but see, there are many different aspects of this. So it's picking up on the facet that just sort of resonates for us, it connects with us. Wholehearted. You know. What is it that we really, you know, in your life where you just put your whole heart and you say, yeah, you know, I really want to do this. I really want to explore this. And the Buddha really encouraged, and maybe you see this in your own life, a sort of certain sense of singleness of purpose. It's when we can really find what I'm talking about, you know, the under the really, really, really bit. And we can really, it's very powerful. It's such a kind of, becomes like a kind of engine for practice. It's like, you know, again, part of effortless effort. You just find yourself practicing, meditating, investigating. It's like, you know, it's just happening, you know, at some point, because it's just such a strong, sort of clear purpose. Also wanted to mention what determination isn't. You know, I was thinking about Brahma Viharas, the kindness, compassion, joy and equanimity. We talk about near enemies and far enemies, and I thought this was quite interesting with these paramis. So like a near enemy of determination means something is quite close, you know, and you might mistake it for that. Tightness. I don't know what that is exactly, but you know, you get that kind of sense of like you tighten yourself up and then you push, or you tighten one part of yourself up and then you push. You know, it's a kind of determination that is going to wear you out really quickly, isn't it? And I know, I can really see that in my own practice. Like some way, maybe you see it in your life, you know, where you just kind of get and then you push, and generally, at least in my experience, not helpful. Or that sort of certain sort of rigidity, you know, you get, right, I'm going to do this, and you just go, and you just, regardless of anything, and it can become just very kind of stupid in a way, and kind of, you know, not helpful. So determination, I don't know, you know, what that kind of quite heavy, serious kind of, bit blinkered even, isn't it? Can be, kind of has that sense of being a bit blinkered, maybe getting a bit sort of having a fixed view in there about. So it's something about being able to be determined while maintaining a certain sense of openness, fluidity and kind of flexibility. And then the far enemies, that's kind of more obvious, but I thought about, well, determination, so what's the kind of the opposite of that? It's just like complete lack of determination, just like, I can't, just, you know, just despair, despond, lie down, forget it, you know, I can't, never mind, it's not worth it, it probably doesn't work anyway, this is for other people, and judgment really, isn't it, about what we are or are not capable of. So we can connect with this deeper aspiration. So I wanted to mention and share just sort of what the Buddha said about determination. He doesn't say that much about it in the suttas, but there's one place where he points to four determinations. And I think, again, we're thinking about, and then I'll go on and think a little bit about more about how this might manifest in our practice, you know, some of the areas that we might look at sort of where we can focus our determination helpfully. And also, yeah, and cultivate it. So it can manifest in a lot of different ways. So he says in this one sutta, one should not be negligent of discernment. So there's the doing bit, the determination to not be negligent. So to not be kind of, to miss any opportunity to discern between the skillful and the unskillful. Like every moment, there's a possibility of, you know, that, seeing that. And of course, you know, and seeing kind of how can we incline towards the skillful and just gently encouraging ourselves over and over again. So that not being negligent. And again, that's so much of the instruction that we're going on about continuity, so that we can keep kind of, you know, herding ourselves back in, you know. And, you know, we can wander off and get into some very, very, very painful places very quickly, can't we? The mind moves so quickly. We do need to be very vigilant. Secondly, he says we should guard the truth, which is lovely after Jake's talk last night. A sense of the protecting the truth that we know. You know, and I think that's something in our practice that, you know, we read and we go to talks and courses and, you know, all this. But so much that we know of the truth, that we have this kind of light within us, this light of awareness, this light of knowing, that we ignore, you know, that we ignore, or that we just say, oh no, I don't really know anything. Oh, I'm not really. So guarding that truth, protecting that truth so we can live from it. He says, so also, the third one, be devoted to relinquishment. Like, it's a kind of devotion, a devotion to letting go, really. The devotion to letting go, letting things be, letting each moment arise and pass, letting experience arise and pass. Again, it's that cultivation, that mind of non-clinging, and that resting, as Jake was talking about last night, that more and more in that experience of the impermanence, the flux and flow of life. And lastly, to train only for calm, which if you could think of all the things you could train for, you train for a lot of things in life, can't you? You know, out in the world or even on the cushion. You know, what are you doing it for? What are you trying to, get more intelligent, better looking, I don't know, and get richer? I mean, there's a sort of honesty there, isn't it? You know, I want to be a big cheese. Do you know that phrase? In English, it means like, you know, what do you say, like a big wig. That's another colloquialism. You know, important person, you know, celebrity, right? Big cheese. and he says, you know, train only for calm. You know, we're going on about kindness and patience, and he says, train only for calm. So all the paramis, if they don't go toward calm, then we want to look at how we're doing it. You know, if we're just getting more agitated in the way we're trying to be kind, you want to kind of look at that. And one reason, these maybe more, why I think that this is so important, is that it's the calm mind that sees the truth. Yeah. It's the calmness of mind that means that we can look and see in ways that free us. So train only for calm. And then we can see. We can see and have those insights that liberate the mind. So, I'd like to talk about a few of the ways that, again, this might manifest in our practice. So, where do we want to focus our determination? Again, wise determination that's actually helpful, strengthening, and productive, and not kind of the opposite. One area, something we've been talking a lot about, I think, kind of, is encouraging us to be self-governing, self-reliant, you know, self-directing, self-kind of guiding, so that we're really, you know, I remember for a long time, and I think I still have it in some ways, actually, this thing is like, can be very unconscious. Someone do it for me, please. This is just too hard. And it's just, please. Or, you know, save me, someone to save me. I don't know how, you know, for some of us, it's like just someone to come and scoop me up so I don't have to, you know, go through this. And it's not going to happen. I mean, that's a bit of a bold statement, isn't it? You know, maybe it will. No, I don't think so. I mean, in my experience, and again, you know, this is part of the great lure of craving, isn't it, this relationship, you know. Once I get that bit of my brain sorted out, or, you know, once I lose that weight, or, you know, once I... And that reliance on others, or that leaning on things, you know, substances, leaning on activities, leaning on journeying, leaning on. I decided at one point I was addicted to courses, you know, because I was at a point where I'd just go on a course like every 5 minutes I'll be on another course, you know, going like, Because, you know, it's like, well, you can do it with books. You can do it with the Dharma. There you go. I mean, you know, read this book, read that book, read this. You know, okay, I've got through the Digha Nikaya. Now I'm going through the Majjhima Nikaya, these massive tomes of Buddha's teachings, which, you know, they're about that wide. Then I will, you know. And, you know, again, isn't it? It's like we're learning to trust and become trustworthy, because honestly, you know, obviously sometimes we're not trustworthy. You know, we let ourselves down. We go all over the place. You know, we fall in the ditch and we have to get ourselves out. I'm like, okay, change your clothes. You know, let's get back on the road. So being self-governing. Another thing, quality I wanted to mention, which I guess is actually really part of what helps to foster determination and feed it. I don't know about you, but it's this sort of thing of inspiration or faith. You know, when somebody or something, or even seeing a guy, look at the lake. I know today, and I just felt this tremendous inspiration to kind of connect with that stillness, you know, and somehow let that resonate, you know, with me, and kind of, you know, stop worrying about the talk and kind of, yeah, that inspiration, that faith, that where does that come from? Because that's such, again, one of the engines of our practice, and certainly what supports a wise determination. You know, the sort of faith which isn't about believing in something, like, oh, well, I believe in the Buddha and I believe, you know, this, that and the other bit. But the kind of faith in what we know, again, when you drop through the layers of, well, all the proliferations, and you come to that. And if we're all here, we all know we all have some faith or we wouldn't be here. And again, it's that kind of determination, you could say, to kind of connect with that and to know what kind of fosters that for us. Particular books, you know, going for a walk in nature for me is almost foolproof, you know, the kind of perspective that can bring and the kind of energy and faith and encouragement. Because in a way that's part of my conditioning, I guess. We can condition these things. It might be looking at the Buddha. Sometimes, you know, when I bow and I look at the Buddha, and part of what I do is I kind of ask for encouragement. I'll say, you know, it's supportive. So, also wanted to just mention some of the. I mean, obviously, in meditation practice, when we're sitting and walking and so on, tremendous need for determination. I mean, isn't it? I mean, it just. It's just amazing to me how you're all still here. I'm still here. We haven't run screaming down the road and, like, not come back. Might come screaming down the road and then come back. You know, and what an amazing degree of determination. I see that in yourself. Really acknowledge that. There's something there. There's something that keeps you coming back in here. What is that? You know, and it's something to do with other people as well, and a sort of sense of solidarity, being there for other people, just showing up, you know, just showing up, the determination to show up. I mean, this is profound, and this, in terms of our life, you know, this might be a lot more meaningful and really productive than lots of, you know, the sort of maybe almost glamorous images of heroic, you know, determination, yes, you know, sort of various sort of, I don't know what for you would be heroic pose, but something like, you know, I don't know, just something like that. And, you know, just showing up, that's, you know, that's amazing, you know, that's wonderful. And how we can do that in our life, you know, our job is getting us down, we just show up. You know, our partner's getting us down, we just show up. It's really, really important. And lots of other qualities in the meditation that we've been going on and on about. And one of the things I want to mention is this, you know, this capacity of determination to cut the waffle. I don't know if you cut the, you know, the blah blah, the waffle, the, well, I don't know what I'm doing, and it's like the sword of wisdom. It's a very Zen kind of, sometimes the Zen tradition, you know, or okay, wake up, you know, kind of smell the coffee. Or it's, and I got this quote, I thought this was a rather lovely kind of Zen thing. I don't know which teacher it comes from, I'm afraid. It says, try to be as still as you can and stop telling yourself stories. This is a kind of one of those wonderful sort of pithy, you know, sum up practice in a sentence kind of thing. Or something to carry with you, you know, I think something like that, you might want to carry that with you, or you make your own up, one that's really relevant for you, you know. This, try to be as still as you can and stop telling yourself stories. I mean, that wouldn't be a bad one to carry around with you, would it? So another thing I wanted to touch on, which has come up again in the talk last night and talking to people, is incredibly important area of working with thoughts, you know, and the determination, I would say, to not believe any thought. I mean, that's maybe going a bit far. But even if a thought is very respectable and, you know, like you might say, I believe in, you know, the Buddha, Dharma and Sangha or something, I don't know. But it seems to me any belief, however respectable, can always be got hold of by, you know, the shadow, if you like, or the, you know, the side of us that isn't so skillful and used against us and against other people. So I have this sense that we can have beliefs but hold them lightly. Know them rather than hold on to them. And again, another you know, big subject. But to one of the commitments, I think I've, that's another word for determination, I think anyway, one of the commitments I've tried to make for myself really strongly is that wise relationship to thought. Because, you know, like a lot of us, there've been a lot of very toxic, very, very destructive beliefs, say, about yourself, or, you know, just those thoughts where you're just undermining yourself, or you're just, you know, comparing yourself with other people. I don't know if you have this. I've really been working on it, and it's got better. But it's like you see it, and the more you see it, and it still happens, but you don't believe in it as much. You know, envying, picking on one particular person. They're saying, yeah, but they've got this, and they've got that, and they've got the other thing, and they're this and that, and I'm not. I've got that. I haven't got this. You know, oh, and the suffering, you know, and the kind of underlying beliefs about ourselves and the world that can feed. There's just so much suffering in that. And just beginning to get that, I am not going to do that. I'm not going to do it, you know. It's like really strong. It's like that capacity to say no. And not in an, can you hear, that's not aversive, it's not repressive, it's not denying anything. It's a real clear choice. And the Buddha really, you know, as one of the suttas where he talks about two kinds of thoughts, you know, and to really make that a very strong practice. Lots of other examples I could give. I wanted to also say a little bit about working with habit, you know, which again, maybe you could say is like the whole of our practice. But something about determination which can really help us to do something different. You know, go the opposite direction from what you usually do. This is one of the most powerful ways of undermining our habits or our kind of habitualness, giving ourselves more choice, you know. And doing it because we choose to do it, not because anybody else is telling us to, or there's some internalized thing, well, I really want to, you know, but, you know, well, no. But no, I'm going to, you know. Go the other direction, see what happens, you know. And it's so powerful because sometimes it just, you know, sometimes you have to do that again and again to undermine a very powerful habit. But it's so encouraging. It's so encouraging. You see, oh, I could do it. You know, I did it. I did it once. I can do it again. You know. So you have the habit of always withdrawing and hanging back. So sometimes you just go for it. You go forward and you speak and you connect and you ask for help. Or you always have the habit of getting in there and just saying what you think and taking charge and whatever, and then you just practice. It could be really, like that kind of painful in you, but so, so liberating. And the kind of determination, I think, again, is not that kind of hard, kind of, right, okay, I've got to, and pushing down yourself, but it's like clarity. I know that this is in my best interest. It's moving towards freedom. It's moving towards kind of true happiness. It's like moving away from being just, governed by habit and impulse and these drives and pushes and urges that we all struggle with. We all have these. And on retreat, we have a very special opportunity to practice with this, just in little ways. It's because you can see and you can choose, and it's simple, and it's not in a way so impactful, perhaps, in your life. Things like, if you typically, after a sitting, you go, that way, and you immediately go out or whatever and you walk, then just try not doing that. Go and have a cup of tea. No, I can't do that. Or if you usually go and have a cup of tea, just try doing the opposite. Just go straight to your coat and go out and walk. Another thing might be sitting longer. So when we have a walking period, if you want to keep sitting, then you could say, okay, it's been however it's been difficult, it's been easy, it's been a mixture of both, but maybe, sit longer and see how that sort of challenge yourself. Again, not in an extreme way, not in a way of hurting or trying to prove something, or it's more like exploring, kind of exploring our edge, our edges. So much of that is, and stay up later. Get up early. This playing, this. And again, I'm not. I hope you can hear. It's not like saying, go and do this. But it's like it's a real invitation to experiment and play and to really, kind of, in a way, play with it. Again, that word playful, and how much. See how much, if you have a clear intention to do something different, and just see what happens and see how that feels. See what you learn. And we can do this in our life. And I haven't given sort of many examples, but, happened a while ago. I was really angry, actually got really angry with somebody. And steam was coming out of my ears, and my general thing is, I kind of implode. It goes against me, becomes depression, or I start being angry myself. And so I was just, again, wanting to practice with this. I want to practice with this. And, going and kind of quivering and saying to this person, I'm really angry, and trying to do it in a way where I wasn't attacking. Because I really wasn't meaning to be malicious with it, but I really wanted to communicate this, and I'm angry, and it's about this. And when you did that, it was just really difficult for me. And I was like, and what happened, I mean, I think it was helpful. It didn't resolve the thing, and, it wasn't all happily ever after or anything. But it didn't hurt, I don't think it hurt anybody, right? I think it was a bit shocking for me and the other person. Like, oh. But it wasn't hurtful, and it was important. Again, just another very small example of ways that we can go against our habit. So one last thing I wanted to mention in terms of determination is the determination to be kind and to really be open to finding out what that is right now. know, as I am in the conditions, you know, not some image of Mother Teresa, bless her, you know, she's a wonderfully kind person. We can't all be her. Well, in fact, only her, she can be her. We have to be us, we have to be, I have to be me, you have to be you. And it's, you know, this commitment, I feel like for me it's been a very profound and over a period of many years, a kind of ongoing commitment to kindness of because such strong tendencies to harshness and judgment and, you know, towards myself and others and so on. I know, sure, it's true for others too. And to make that commitment and to really, that will really make a difference, even if we stray, you know. Keep coming back, finding out more about what that means and how we can embody that. So, I'd like to finish with a poem which I feel expresses some of the qualities of determination. I hope it speaks to you. It's a poem called The Journey by Mary Oliver. One day you finally knew what you had to do and began. Though the voices around you kept shouting their bad advice, though the whole house began to tremble and you felt the old tug at your ankles. Mend my life, each voice cried. But you didn't stop. You knew what you had to do, though the wind pried with its stiff fingers at the very foundations, though their melancholy was terrible. It was already late enough, and a wild night, and the road full of fallen branches and stones. But little by little, as you left their voices behind, the stars began to burn through the sheets of clouds, and there was a new voice, which you slowly recognized as your own, that kept you company as you strode deeper and deeper into the world, determined to do the only thing you could do. Determined to save the only life that you could save. So, may each of us find a wise determination which will support us in finding and following our deepest truth and our deepest love.